Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Paulie's a great name.
Oh, Paulie.
What'd you do for Paulie? Anything?
Me, Paulie. I was responsible.
Paulie, we're here because of you.
Dude, you are not going to believe this, but pitchers and catchers report a week from Wednesday.
9 days.
Dude, it's coming up.
That's exciting.
Pitchers and catchers reporting to Florida. Our guy, Matt Paulie, is going to be reporting from Florida pretty soon. I don't know if he's there yet. We'll find out. He's with us now on KMOX. Hello, Matthew.
Hello.
When do you go down?
A week from today, next Monday.
Okay. So you're there a couple of days in advance so that you can get the lay of the land?
Sure.
Right?
Yes, I'm there. I'm ready to go. We'll get everything set up on Tuesday. I fly in Monday. Tuesday, we'll get our studio stuff all set up. And Wednesday, pitchers and catchers report.
Are all the renovations done or no? Are they in the middle
of it? No, they haven't even started.
They haven't started. Oh, well.
No.
So you won't get the benefit of that.
No.
This is quite the project. I mean, they are literally tearing everything down and building it back up. This is, I'll be shocked if they if it's all the way done when we get there for 2026. I mean, this is a huge project they're going to do.
Okay. Well, it's looking forward. Hopefully, we'll get a chance to see it. Maybe Michael Kelly will let us stay at his place.
There you
go. We go down and look. Is that where you stay? Or do you get your
own pad? No, I do not stay.
He doesn't let you stay there during spring training. That's why he has it.
That's when he goes? Okay.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
I did see him last year at spring training. He took us out for a really nice dinner. It was one of the highlights of last year's spring training.
That guy knows how to go out, doesn't he?
He does. I ate like a king that night.
You should attach yourself to the hip with Michael Kelly and Mike Claiborne, and I feel like you'd be living the high life during spring training.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with Claibs a lot, and then got to spend a little bit of time with him. I know the people to hang out with.
Before we get to the baseball stuff, any thoughts on the TV broadcast booth changes?
Say that one more time. I'm sorry.
The broadcast booth on the television side, Jim Edmonds no longer part of it. Any thoughts on that?
No. I mean, those things happen. Those things change for sure. I don't have a big opinion on that.
My question was, the Post-Dispatch, Matt, brought up when Edmonds criticized
Christopher Morel
for kind of showboating around the bases when he hit a home run. And I guess my question is, because I always listen to Rooney and Horton and Klabe, so, you know, I don't know anything. I'm just spitballing here. But anyway, when fans are watching that, do Cardinals fans find that off-putting? Or are they like, hey, he's a Cardinal. He's our guy. You can criticize Morel.
I think Edmonds, of all the broadcasters, had the most percentage of people that either loved him or hated him. I don't think he was somebody that people
very
were just
polarizing.
Oh,
yes.
Edmonds is a TV broadcaster. That's fine. Like, you either really, really liked him or really, really did not like him, and that's the way it was. There were times where he would say things that I think some of the analysts did not say, but I also think there were times where he said things that other analysts would not say for a reason. So, I think it was a mutual decision from everything I've heard. For people who don't know, he's spending a lot of time in Nashville now. He's got a home and like a farm out there. And he spends, I think, half the time in St. Louis because he still has kids here. And then he spends the other half the time. I'm not trying to like throw out. I'm not tight with Edmonds or anything. Yeah. But this is just kind of what I have heard. And that I think it was very much a mutual decision. I don't think he got fired per se, and I don't think he quit per se. I think the two sides just kind of came together and realized, okay, let's go in a different direction.
You know, do you think something like this have anything to do with? And I know it's not the only reason, but if you're, you know, in the tabloids because you were on Real Housewives of Orange County and you've got that as well, does that matter to an organization?
I don't know. That's a really good question because he brought some stuff on, and obviously his personal life was out there. He was on the Real Housewives thing. He's gone through a very, very public divorce, and there's been some details about that divorce that I'm sure, that's the part that stinks about being in the public eye, because the stuff that he has gone through from a divorce standpoint and from a personal life standpoint, many, many, many people go through that exact same thing. But when it becomes public, it doesn't look as good. So I don't know if the Cardinals ever said to themselves that they don't love being associated or attached to that kind of drama. I have no idea. I think it's a legitimate question, Amy. I just don't know what the answer is to it.
In an interview today, he was critical of the organization, saying that they don't allow, or they're not welcoming to former players. Do you get that sort of vibe?
Yeah, I listened to it, and he would know better than me. Like, this is something that's hard for me to comment on because I'm not a red jacket who used to get invited to spring training to be a guest instructor, and I don't get that invite anymore. If that's the way it is, and it's like that way for a lot of former Cardinals, and he specifically said that there was the way they did things pre-COVID and the way they did things post-COVID. And sometimes it's just kind of an oversight, and COVID changed everything, and then you kind of forget to get back to some things. But he also said that he communicated things to the organization and desired to get back to that. So it's a really, really hard. I'm not trying to like hem and haw here. Sure. It's just a hard thing for me to comment on because I don't have any personal connection. Like when we get to spring training, we see Ozzy down there. We see people down there, and I wasn't covering the team pre-COVID. So he specifically mentioned the fact that when he was playing, Bob Gibson or Lou Brock or Stan Musial would be in the clubhouse and sometimes in the dugout during games, and that doesn't really exist anymore. But it's really hard for me to comment on that because I wasn't specifically around during those times.
Well, there's a really great video from last spring training of Ozzy on the field with Nolan Arenado, and they're both mic'd up talking about fielding. And that was a feature, right? I don't remember where the feature aired, but maybe
it was
Cardinals website. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that was awesome. So it's not like they're not around. I don't know. Again, he's a former player. I'm not there. Maybe his experience was different. I want to talk a little bit about the team itself. And this is about the time where projections start to come out. And some people like to look at projections. Some people do not. It's always a grain of salt kind of thing, and Baseball Prospectus does their Pecota projections, so they try to predict what players individually will do, what teams will do. They have concluded the Cardinals will finish with about 78 wins and in third place in the division behind the Cubs and then the Brewers. How do you feel about that Pecota projection?
Yeah, I think that's a possibility. I would say that's the floor for the team. This team probably wins somewhere between the 78 and mid 80s. I think that's what it looks like. If they get into the mid to high 80s, maybe we're talking about a team that sneaks into the playoffs. Who knows? If the division is terrible, maybe they win the division. I don't think that's a terrible projection for this team. In fact, with so many unknowns, I like that projection because Pecota doesn't deal in unknowns. They deal with knowns. So they can't include into their projection the idea of Jordan Walker taking a big step forward, the idea of Nolan Gorman. Maybe Nolan Gorman's a bad example because he's got significant time in the big leagues. But there are things on this team that they can't project. So if they are projecting based off what they already know, what that tells me is if you do get a couple, two, three guys who take those big steps forward, then you're taking a big step forward from what that projection is. So that would be my spin on it.
The Cubs with 90 wins about, mm-mm, that's what they're projecting. You agree with that?
No, I don't. I don't at all. And now I'll reserve the right to watch and see if the Cubs make another move. I don't think they've done enough. I don't think that I was expecting them to do a lot more. Honestly, I've been if I was a Cubs fan, I would be incredibly disappointed in this offseason, especially when Craig Counsell is saying towards the end of last year that, oh, we have to make the moves to become a 90 win team. You don't say that as a manager unless you feel like the organization is going to go do that. And yeah, they brought in Tucker, and that's a really good addition. I'm not being dismissive of him whatsoever, but that's kind of the one thing, that they've done. They have a new closer in Presley, but I don't know. I don't think the Cubs are a 90-win team.
All right, the Cardinals. Do you suspect maybe we're what 9 days away from spring training? Anything with Arenado, or do you think that they're just going to start the season with him?
I still think it depends on Alex Bregman. If Bregman signs with a team that's not the Boston Red Sox, I think there's a pretty good chance that Arenado ends up in Boston. If that doesn't happen, then there's at least a 50-50 chance that he's in spring training with the Cardinals. And it's going, you know, John Mozeliak was on with Tom Ackerman on Sports on a Sunday morning, and he admitted that the market for the trade market had really died down here recently. Mo told me during a winter warm-up weekend that he felt like, you know, outside forces were impacting it. So outside forces is the Bregman thing. So it's very hard to evaluate the possibility of Arenado being a Cardinal or not being a Cardinal when Bregman is still hanging out there. The moment he signs, I think that's the moment that we start to get more of a real firm grasp on whether or not it's a legit possibility that Arenado starts the season with the Cardinals.
Tigers are still, you know, interested in Bregman. Apparently they just signed Jack Flaherty, so he's going back. Yeah. He's going back to Detroit. Couple of years for him. You have thoughts on that deal?
Yeah, so I think from a money perspective, it was actually a really good deal. When you look at what is going on across baseball and the amount of money that's being spent. So Flaherty got a two-year deal. He's got an opt-out after the first year, so essentially it's a one-year deal with an option. He's going to make $25 million in 2025, has a $10 million player option for 26. That goes to $20 million if he starts 15 games. So he can suck totally and just start 15 games, and he's still going to make an extra $10 million off that. So we'll see whether or not he picks up the second deal. But when you consider that Matthew Boyd got 2 years, $29 million with a $1 million incentive on his contract. Luis Severino got 3 years, $67 million. Frankie Montas, 2 years, $34 million. If you give Flaherty this two-year deal and that money, I think you compare that to what else has been going on in the market, and you say that's a really, really good deal for Flaherty.
Hey, I want to get to Super Bowl week here with you in a moment, but I mean, how much do you pay attention to the NBA? There was a massive trade yesterday with Luka Doncic going to the Lakers and Dallas getting Anthony Davis. So Luka is going to be playing with LeBron. What are your thoughts on that one?
It says a lot about the NBA right now. It says a lot about Doncic's relationship with the Mavericks. They've kind of trashed him on the way out, talking about his defense. There's been a lot of talk about whether or not he was committed to things. There's a video out there on social media where he was drinking a beer a game one day.
It was after the conference final.
Yeah, was it Michael Finley, who was their assistant GM, went over and took the beer away from him?
Yeah.
So obviously the relationship between Doncic and the Mavericks had gone to a place that that they didn't want it to go. We'll see how he fits in on the Lakers. If he's out of shape and can't play defense, that doesn't really help you that much, but we still know that he's an all-time great kind of player, and maybe it was just time for everybody to move on. I don't know if the Mavericks get better. Like, with all due respect to Anthony Davis, I'm not sure Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving as the centerpieces of a team doesn't seem like a championship team to me, but what do I know?
I will say, if you the Twitterverse occasionally comes up big, and it usually does on things like this, and people were explaining the Doncic trade in different terms and music, or one person said girl terms, which take that for what it's worth, but they said it's like Destiny Child trading Beyonce to TLC for Chili.
Wait, for Chili?
I guess that's like one of the TLC members.
Yes.
Basically, like, you don't trade Beyonce to TLC. Like, people have just been giving, like, one was another, like trading post-emo Billy Corgan for something. Like, they're putting it in different terms of music and movies and celebrity. It was pretty good.
This is the first time I ever knew that one of the singers' names from TLC was Chili.
Oh, yeah. Left Eye, She's Dead.
Yeah.
She burned down, was it Andre Rison's house?
Andre Rison's house, yeah. They do Waterfalls, right? That's their banger?
Yeah,
right?
Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls.
Yeah, that's a good song. It's a really good song.
T-Boz. That was the other person.
Who did Scrubs? Was TLC Scrubs?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay,
that's
a good song. Yeah.
But like you said, did you know the name of anyone in TLC?
Nope.
But you know Beyonce.
I know Beyonce.
That's right.
She just won a country thing, right?
She did.
She certainly did. Yeah.
So someone goes, there's no NFL comparison to this, but if I were forced to make one, here's the correct one. It would be the Bills trading Josh Allen during the 22 season, the season after the 13-second game from Matt Stafford and a future first. That was his NFL comparison.
Any thoughts, Matt, on Super Bowl week? This is I've always loved Super Bowl week, and especially if you get to be there. If you got to be in New Orleans this week, that is the place to be in the U.S. So as we get ready for the Chiefs and the Eagles on Sunday, any thoughts?
I think the Chiefs win. I think it's a close game. Fun week. You're right. Like, there's parties every night. Like, people who do the Super Bowl in a big way, I look up to them because that is the place to be, like you said.
Matt, do you think Saquon Barkley is going to have a great game no matter what?
I don't know.
Yes.
Why?
Because I love him. Because okay. I'm rooting for the Chiefs, but I really like Saquon Barkley.
Why do you like Saquon Barkley?
Because he's amazing. He's fun.
Okay.
He seems like an all right dude.
You don't even know. He does seem like an all right
dude. He seems like an all right dude. He does. And then that where he could have, I mean,
he's got a cool name, Saquon.
Saquon's a great name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First and last name just flows. Saquon Barkley is a great sports name.
Such a great name, and he's amazing. He's fun to watch.
Is SB going to win the SB?
Wow. All right.
Well,
Saquon Barkley.
Or the MVP in the SB.
Okay.
I mean, the Chiefs are going to win, but Saquon Barkley is amazing.
So, Matt, Pauly, Sports Open line tonight starting at 6 o'clock. You'll go until 7. Then it's the women's, SLU Women's Basketball Coaches Show. They
that
will go
correct.
From 7 until 8 o'clock. You got a guest list yet?
Not yet. We'll see what gets put together between now and 6 o'clock. We got time. We
All
got
right.
time to figure stuff out.
Matt, Pauly, we'll talk to you Wednesday.
All right.
Yo, Pauly, your sister's with me. I'll call you back later. See ya.
Sports Open Line tonight, 6 to 7 o'clock, and then it is the Women's Coaches Show, St. Louis University. Amy and I were at St. Louis University on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Robbie, he was on the show with us. Didn't go great for him Friday night.
I think you made him uncomfortable.
But
I think he was at ease, and then you put him ill at ease.
No. Because Hannah Wallace was on later in the show, and then she goes out on Saturday.
Crushed it.
And sets a personal record of at least a slew, a high mark for her of rebounds. She had a good game. So.
Well, I think Robbie was uncomfortable after talking to you.
That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm uncomfortable now.
So am I.
I'm Chris Ranji. This is KMOX.